We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Another weekend, I did a minisode. It's a Monday morning, Ampergode. Another weekend, I did a minisode. It's a Monday morning, Ampergode.
I don't even know what that word is.
It's a brigade. But I changed it to rhyme with minisode. Because it's another weekend I didn't get paid. It's a Monday morning Amp Brigade. But I was trying to keep the rhyme, so it changed to Brigode.
Oh, that's good. Ooh,
you've never heard of layers. A Brigode?
I literally was like, Brigode.
Sorry, you don't have class.
I guess not. I guess not. Oh my god, welcome to your minisode on the hood, like a part one.
Hello everyone, my name is Ian Allred and I am a mini gleek.
Hello everyone, my name is Lena Knetzer and I am a mini gleek.
Oh, okay, wow, first minisode back in a long time. First minisode since the mini legends.
The best minisode ever.
The thing is, that's not a bad minisode at all. It's a good minisode. But just your embarrassment over that joke is my favorite part. Even during the minisode, you're like, you guys, is this bit funny?
I really just thought I ate it up. I was like, that's you really did. So funny.
You did iconic. That's a Hall of Famer for this podcast, Mini Legend.
No, everyone writes in all the time and they're like, oh, you guys are such mini legends.
When we put our post where we're like, what are your favorite moments from the podcast? Everyone's like, mini legend, mini legend.
And we were like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And then we knew. They could tell the future. Oh my God. So funny. How are you, my friend?
That's how
that
I am.
That good.
I'm good. I'm tired and good. Turud. I was trying to combine those words in a clever way, and that's what came out. Dude. How are you?
I'm good. Tired and also good.
Heck yeah. Happy Pride.
Ain't that just the way? Happy Pride! Oh my god.
Now I'm like, we already talked about Pride on our little Patreon
If you want to hear about discussion. Our Pride, you gotta pay, but get out behind a paywall. Just kidding.
I might read that note anyway, because it was so funny.
It's like, it's everything. It was really awesome.
So the rest of our Pride discussion is for our patrons, so join our Patreon, but I'll read, this will be for everyone. So yesterday, one of my castmates bought the men's dressing room a thing of Starburst, like a big bag of Starburst, and had a note attached to it that said, to the gays. And inside the note, I took a picture of it. It says, dear gays, because I would say out of the eight men in that dressing room, five of us are gay. Dear gays, happy Pride. Enjoy this colorful treat on me. The theater and the very concept of joy would not exist without each and every one of you being your authentic selves. Keep eating ass and taking names, Sarah.
Shout out, Sarah. That's like, that's everything to me. I love that so much.
Sarah's so friend sweet. Listens to this podcast, so hi.
Oh my god, hi. How are you? Happy Pride.
Oh, I'll tell... I'm like, should I leave anything for Patreon? I was also going to tell the text I sent to my roommate that no one thought was funny, because I thought it was so funny.
Sure.
Okay, I'm sorry, patrons. There is more stuff that you can listen to on our Patreon. But
you know what? Be who you are for your pride.
Don't hide. But I have a bunch of new roommates right now because all of my old roommates decided to leave for the summer, which was bizarre.
They told me it's because they hate you.
It is because they hate me. It's because they knew that a bunch of summer interns would be coming to the city so they could sublet out their rooms and they could all go on long vacations and not have to pay rent. That's like genuinely, I think, the main reason it's happening.
Wait, I want to do it. I'm just kidding.
So I have a bunch of new roommates who I like don't know at all. And they're all like interns in the finance world. They're all very nice. I have spoken to all of them. They're all very nice. We just like don't know each other because I have been gone rehearsing and performing and just like we haven't spoken very much. June 1st comes around and I send a text being like, this is, I'm the king of comedy. I'm the comedic voice of our generation.
Yeah,
I send a text to our roommate group chat saying, I'm not going to be paying rent this month. And if you have an issue with it, you're homophobic. Happy Pride. Not only did no one laugh, no one acknowledged that I had said anything. That's a lie. I have one roommate who did not leave for the summer. So he's like the only one that I know. And he did laugh at it. No one else acknowledged that a single thing had been said. And I was like, okay, you guys are losers. Oh, well, I'll hold on to my one roommate who didn't move out for the summer.
Honestly, even more homophobic of them not to even giggle. Right?
I'm like a gay man tells a joke reaction. And you don't laugh. That's a hate crime. In the month of June?
June? Get the fuck out of here.
How dare you? I'm reporting you to the police.
Be who you are for your pride. I saw you shared the pigeons at Pride.
Throw some bread. I see you throwing that glitter. I see you throwing that glitter.
I see you throwing that
Cut
glitter.
It out and throw some bread.
I see a lot of jock straps.
What I don't see is bread.
Bread.
Empty your pockets. Ew.
Ew.
I have been saying, the one that I've been saying a lot recently is, hey gay, happy pride. We are sashaying away with deals. That section. Or we've been making butter since 1945 and been accepting of all people since the last 4 months. Anyways, speaking of pride, let's talk about the Klain love letter that is the Hurt Locker Part 1.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Be who you are.
Happy Pride.
Well, happy Pride. Let's kick shit off with Lila.
Hello, Lena. I messed up our own names. She didn't write Lena and Ina. That was a me mistake. Humiliating. Hello, Lena and Ian. Longtime listener, couple time email sender, Lila she, her here. Just want to say I am 22 now, but when you drop the minisode, I will be 23. My birthday is June 4th, and if I can request you guys to sing happy birthday in the Michael Scott way, I'd be eternally grateful. You want to do it right now?
Yeah, how do you do it in the Michael Scott way?
I'll show you. One, two,
oh,
three.
Is it?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lila.
Lila.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, buddy. I hope that's what you're referring
happy
to. That's
birthday.
The only Michael Scott birthday I can think of is when he sings it to Creed. So if that wasn't it, I apologize, Lila.
I have never seen an episode of The Office.
Have you never seen an episode?
Oh, no, that's a lie. I certainly have seen an episode. I just don't know anything about it.
This is a hill that I will die on, which is a lot of like very boring straight white men love The Office.
Yeah.
And so then it became gauche to like The Office.
Yeah.
I understand that like the most annoying man you know loves The Office. And so by association, it gets, I'm not talking to you specifically, Lena.
No,
I'm talking to like the general public.
I just love
public.
The way that you said
like,
that.
I understand that like the most annoying man you know loves The Office. So by association, it gets on your nerves.
Yeah.
Watch the show. Like take that out of your mind. Watch a few episodes. It's a fantastic show.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that it has been ruined by that. It is a fantastic television show.
Oh, and I absolutely bet. That made me laugh just because the way that you said that was the funniest thing anyone's ever said ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's true. It's totally true.
Also, gay rights. Oscar was, like, the first gay character I ever saw on a sitcom as a child.
Aw, yeah.
And I also feel like The Office does a very good job, especially considering that it's like 2005, that Oscar is never the butt of the joke. It's always the other people are the butt of the jokes for being like weird and close-minded and awkward around him. But he is always like in the position of power in those interactions.
Yeah.
I just love that show.
I dig that.
Anyways, back to Lila's email. Happy Pride. That story you told about meeting the one and only Jam Jam Happy Pride made me shriek with jealousy just a little and happiness for you too. How iconic. It's so nice to hear how kind they were. What an amazing season. I'm so happy it ended the way it did. Also, please don't think this comes off as insensitive. I just thought I'd share. While Lena was telling the lovely story about the funeral she attended and mentioned the song they played throughout the slideshow, I fully thought you meant that they played 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton, and I was like, huh, interesting pick, but lovely tune. I then clued in that it was Bitch, and that made much more sense. I hope that this funeral was long enough ago so that you think this is kind of funny, and I'm sorry for your loss. This episode is by far the best Sue content of all bloody time. Sue Rodham Sylvester for fucking president. My God. I truly can't even express all of my feelings for how good this episode is. My phone might explode. Last thing. I adopted saying sorry like Lena does when I'm being sarcastic. And let me tell you, it's hilarious. I think of Lena every time. Loving the pod as per usual. Keep spreading the good word. Consensual forehead kisses. Lila.
When I was trying to figure out how I say sorry.
I think it's that.
Sorry. Is that? No.
There it is. Sorry.
I love that. Sorry. That's like the only way I can indicate sarcasm. I'm obsessed. I love it. Number one, it was long enough ago. This is funny. And also, I know that she would have thought this was funny. And thinking that 1,000 Miles would have been the funeral song, and actually it was Bitch. She would have thought that was funny, and it made me giggle, and I love that, so thank you for sharing that.
1,000 Miles in that context is honestly deeply sad.
Oh,
the lyrics to that literally. Song being and about, I need like, you, and I miss passed. You,
and now I wonder, if I could fall into the sky, do you think time would pass us by? Oh, God.
I'd walk 1,000 miles if I could just see you.
If I could just see you.
That's too tragic. Whoa.
Oh, don't play that at a funeral. I
that's
I go
on the
to,
band
I,
list for I think, my funeral.
Not mine. Not no. mine. So sad. Also, happy birthday! Oh my God, 23. Listen, I hope you. I know this is coming out after your birthday, but I hope you listen to 22 a million times.
Yeah, last night you better have been cranking it, baby.
Absolutely.
When Lena turned 23, we went to Disneyland.
We did. That was a fun one. We had peanut butter and jelly, and I had a panic attack.
Related.
Jelly really freaks me out sometimes.
You're just like, I don't understand. It used to be a fruit, but now it's not. Where's its shape? You can't.
Is it a liquid? Is it a solid?
Exactly. You're like, I don't know how to classify this.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And like 100%. Sometimes it's more chunky than other times, and you just like never really know.
Yeah.
It really scares me.
Fair point.
Hard to catch my breath. Lila, I love this email. Thank you so much for sharing it. Happy freaking birthday! Up next, we've got a message from Doy.
Hello, Lena and Ian. My name is Doy, he, him, from Detroit, Michigan. I finally worked up the courage to write to you after a full year of enjoying your podcast. I discovered you during my long commutes to work after getting transferred to a location over an hour away. You made making these hour-long commutes entertaining for the 8 months I had to before I could move closer. There were times I would sit in my car in the parking lot for an extra half hour or so just to finish an episode. For this, I truly thank you. On to the Hurt Locker. I love that we have gotten to the point where Glee has admitted to every nonsensical thing the show has done and basically said, who cares? I agree that Glee was at its best when it leaned into the nonsense. The part that has me creating endless headcanons was Sue's rant to Will. When Sue called out to Will all the students he failed, I could not stop imagining scenes depicting how it all went down. Picture, beginning of season 2. Matt Rutherford is on his way to the choir room, and Will stops him and just shakes his head, points him in the other direction, and shuts the door, announcing to everyone that Matt transferred. And since the Glee Club just followed Will blindly, They accepted it for truth and ignored Matt for the rest of high school. In my headcanon, the piece of cellophane, a.k.a. Joe, never left the New Directions. He still showed up every meeting and practice, but became so insignificant that even the other members forgot he existed and would be shocked when they bumped into him in choreography. But Joe, being a trooper, would continue to show up even though he missed the plane to Nationals because everyone forgot to tell him when they were leaving. I totally agree with Sue as well that the unsung heroes of the Glee Club were the band. Not only did they have to memorize thousands of songs, because I barely recall seeing sheet music, but two members are credited with a sectional win because they were forced to perform the routine a few days before the competition. Imagine the classes they had to miss, the schoolwork being undone, just to perform all the useless numbers each of the 12-plus members would put on randomly all over the school at whatever hour they chose to. I kind of wish we saw some of them still in the band in season 6, because it would be funny to call out that even though more than 4 years had canonically passed, they have not graduated because they have been held back for failing grades due to all the time spent backing up the Glee Club. Lastly, I would like to point out that season 6 is a reboot in certain ways. We have the show going back to its roots with new characters and features returning characters in new roles. So instead of campaigning for a reboot, which I still really want, I want to campaign for a mini web series that follows all the amazing side characters that went to the farm upstate way too soon. It would show us all the scenes of them still existing in this world and dealing with all the insanity that the main characters put on. Like David Martinez trying to teach Spanish but is interrupted by Will leading a twerking riot down the halls and his whole class just gets up and leaves. Kendra secretly becoming obsessed with Will and showing up to every competition as a crazy fan. Danny receiving the breakup text from Santana while having lunch with Elliot to discuss how they became wound up in McKinley drama. Lastly, Isabel Wright making up excuses to everyone in Vogue why Kurt has not shown up in a year and still hasn't been fired because she refuses to fire him due to their Ohio roots. Sorry for the long email. I absolutely love you both and will be forever your fan. Consensual XOXO, Doi. Doi, this web miniseries is a $1 million idea. Mm-hmm. I would eat that up. That would be so incredibly funny.
Yeah.
Specifically the David Martinez one. Just shots. It doesn't even have to be David Martinez. Obviously, he's the one that like we have an in with and we know. But just a series that follows another teacher at this school trying to hold class while the Glee Club consistently is breaking into musical numbers throughout the school day, and running into their classroom and causing a wreck of things. That's hysterical.
It is. I love that. I love that so much. Doi, thank you so much for this email. Up next, we've got a message from Emily.
Hi, Ian and LPC. My name is Emily, she, her, from Ohio. Longtime listener, first time emailer. Please go ahead and excuse my ADHD-ness and how this email might be a little all over the place. I've been wanting to write in for a really long time, but I just always get distracted and never complete an email in time. I decided this episode had to be the one I write in for, though. So I wasn't a Glee fan until season 5 was airing. Yes, crazy I know. Glee actually gained at least one fan in that time period. I had actually caught an episode on TBS with my sister, who was already a Gleek. The episode was The Comeback from season 2. Yas, the Justin Bieber experience, and yas to Finn saying to Rachel, looks like somebody's making a comeback. I was hooked. I rented season 1 of Glee from Family Video, what a time, and called off work the next day to watch it all. I became obsessed. I then found a whole world of Glee fan pages on Instagram. Glee became my special interest, and so did my Glee fan page that I created shortly after. I made so many friends through the fandom on Instagram, one of which actually recommended your guys' podcast to me. Shout out to Chase. And after season 6 was airing, and immediately when I saw the Hurt Locker Part 1 live, and I heard Kurt's date, Walter, mention that his Instagram handle was at Hot Cup of Walter, I immediately made that my fan page handle. So that's why this is the perfect episode for me to write in for. I am Hot Cup of Walter. Or as Ian said in the pod episode, Tall Glass of Walter. Sorry. I've heard you guys and other people write in mention the online fandom a bunch, but I've never heard the Instagram fandom directly mentioned. So I'm happy to be the one to do so. I've long ago stopped tending to my Glee fan page, but it has a seriously special place in my heart. I really want to thank you guys. Times have evolved and changed so much since Glee has been on the air, and rewatching Glee sometimes can give me the ick. You guys just do such a good job of having nuanced conversation about Glee as fans. I really appreciate that. I don't really have any commentary on this episode, Besides, I agree with you guys on how funny it is. And I just have to add that Lena and I are so close to being the same person, I can't even take it. In another life, we would be Swifty besties. Ian, my boyfriend and I have our dream cast of Hamilton casted in our minds, and you're our King George. Would love to see that come to fruition one day. Emily, from your lips to God's ears, I swear. I love you guys and the pod. I can't wait to see what you guys do next, if anything. Selfishly, I'm hoping you guys keep going one way or another. I would watch any show to be able to hear you guys weekly. Love, Emily, a.k.a. at Hot Cup of Walter. Lena, really quickly, as a Swiftie bestie, how was the Eras Tour?
Oh my God. Really quickly, I absolutely ascended to another plane. I feel like I don't even remember half of it because I seriously, I was screaming so loud. I couldn't speak for like a day afterwards. I slept until like 3 p.m. the next day. It was so insane. I cried the whole time. Oh my gosh. I felt like a toddler off a leash. It was really intense. It was really intense. It was so fun though.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Of course.
We saw a Getaway Car. Jack Antonoff was there. And so they performed Getaway Car. And seriously, you could feel New Jersey, I swear to God, like was exalted. The whole state.
I did actually, I saw it rise up into the air on Friday night. And I thought, huh, I wonder what's happening over there.
It was like 70,000 people singing Getaway Car at the tops of their lungs. It was really intense. It was awesome. It was a really special experience. I'm really glad I got to go.
Yeah, I'm glad
I'm very grateful. Too. Yeah.
Sure.
Hot Cup of Walter. I literally love this message so much. It makes me so happy. We are Swifty besties. And also, it just brings me a lot of joy to hear that you would listen, you'd watch any show that we talk about. Like, that means a lot to me. And I really love this message. I feel like I really just really appreciate you saying all this.
And I love the mid-2010s vibe of your Instagram, specifically that every few posts, you will have three posts in a row that are identical copies of each other that say Hot Cup of Walter theme divider so that the page can be split into subsections. I remember people curating their Instagrams like this. Flashback. Now what you do on Instagram is the first of every year. You just do a photo dump that's random pics from the last month.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I use Instagram for. I swear to God.
I just think it's so interesting to see how like one application. I was trying to think of a more exciting way to phrase it. But like how Instagram, the same thing that's been around since 2012, has been used in different ways. And like that was the thing that people who were really into Instagram in like 2014, you would use the grid as like your canvas and post, you know, one giant picture in like nine parts so that if you looked at the grid, it was one giant picture. And now the in thing for Instagram is post 10 pictures at once and have like four of them be random candids of like the sidewalk. And then the other six are actual stuff you did in your life. And the evolution of social media is interesting.
I know, right?
I never got into Instagram fandom stuff. I used to, the pages that I would follow that were not like people I knew. It would be like, this person goes to Disneyland with a nice camera and every day they post pictures of Disneyland. Like, that's what I would follow.
I'm still kind of a part of Instagram fandom in a certain way. I have a second Instagram that I follow a bunch of Kylo Ren stuff.
Heck yeah.
So I'm still kind of a part of that. Like, but it's also certainly not what it was when Instagram fandom was at its peak.
But I know, like, Instagram fandoms used to be, like, you would make Instagrams as if you were the characters, and then you would, like, comment on each other's posts and interact as the characters, all of that business.
You did that.
Maybe I not did with that Instagram, on but... MySpace. That's how old I am. I was, Roger Rabbit in a MySpace Disney group?
Oh my gosh.
And I became internet friends with the girl who was Alice, and we would comment on each other's stuff all the time.
I love that. Ain't that just the way? I love that. Everyone follow at Cup of Walter.
See her most recent post from 2015.
I'm obsessed. It's just so good. Emily, thank you so much for this message. We really appreciate it. Up next, we've got a message from Kaylee.
Hey there, Ian and Lena. And to all the other guys, gals, and non-binary pals that might be listening, if this happens to be red, LOL, happy pride. Just wanted to let you know that your decision to take a hiatus for these next few weeks, this was sent to us a few weeks ago, has given me a god-awfully stupid goal that I will be so proud of if I can finish it. I'm going to restart the series, alternating between watching a Glee episode and listening to your corresponding episode of the podcast, and catch up by the time the Hurt Locker episode of the podcast comes out. And I mean every episode, minisodes, and all. Please wish me luck, but I just wanted to share some random thoughts I had upon rewatching and re-listening to the shows. I'm already halfway through season two, and I started less than a week ago. I think I'm doing great so far. Holy cow. That's impressive.
I can't even, wow.
In a totally random order, when Lena had Puck autocorrect to you fuck in a very early episode, Acafellas to be specific, I wondered if she was actually saying ew Puck when dictating her notes, since one of the notes was you fuck has a nipple ring. So it would make perfect sense if the note was actually supposed to be ew Puck has a nipple ring. Terry was so underutilized, and it could have been so cool for them to play her and Shelby off against each other, since Terry so desperately wants to be a mom, but Shelby just throws Rachel away. They could have had Finn and Terry connect when Finn worked at Sheets and Things, and she could have learned what happened to Rachel that way, and then gone all hellfire on Shelby for being such a POS to her child. One of my favorite Sue Sylvester lines in the entire show is you guys never touched on. It's during the Night of Neglect episode when the League of Doom is meeting and Terry interrupts to say something about how stupid the name is and why are there no snacks. And Sue just replies, wow, it would be hard to be married to you. And I cackle every time. How did y'all miss it? Personally, I didn't mind the Will and Beast kiss because he leans in so slowly that it does give them time to turn away if they wanted to. At the time I first watched it, I had also never been kissed, and I remember thinking if I had a good friend do that for me, I'd be super grateful because I was so in my own head about having never been kissed, and that is actually what happened. I was super nervous about my first kiss, and my best friend just ended up doing it super quick before a night out, so I wouldn't overthink it and could enjoy my night, and I am super grateful to her for it. No matter what happens with guys, my BFF will always be my first kiss. Also, I cringe to think that a modern-day Glee would 10,000% have Rachel sing Anti-Hero and mean it. And that would be worse than Glee Hamilton. Not that I mind the song. I mind that Rachel will be playing the victim again. Okay, that's it. Hope y'all have a great break. Ta-ta for now. We'll be sending more updates on my journey from a proud Gleek forever and always. Kaylee J. Kaylee, did you complete your goal? Yeah. I would love to know.
Let us know. Yeah.
Please send us an update. Please let us know how far you got. If you didn't get far,
with bated breath.
We don't judge you.
No, at all. And also, you already, 2 seasons in a week.
That's
you're dedicated. I love that.
You make great points about the Will and Beast kiss. I do just like don't like Will, and he creeps me out in that scene. I do think that oftentimes, because I don't like Will, a lot of stuff he does is colored by that fact. And so I jump to the worst possible conclusion.
Absolutely.
I still think it was a little weird, but you make a great point.
I agree. Amazing. Kaylee, thanks so much for sending this message. Hope you did well on your re-listen. Can't wait to hear from you soon, hopefully. Up next, we've got a message from Kelsey.
Hi, Ian and Lena. IRL, half friend of the pod, Kelsey here. Hi, Kelsey. Kelsey is my IRL friend of the pod. Good to hear from you. Can I just say how much I appreciate how much y'all talk about the process of putting on shows? I know this is late, but I fell behind during the episodes where you were primarily like, how is Rachel spending 6 months rehearsing for Funny Girl? Over the past year, I've started singing in opera choruses, and while we're not expected to dance much, I've gained an appreciation for just how much effort is taken to put on a show. And granted, we're not Broadway level or the Met / the other big American / European houses in terms of opera. But we do have to sing in foreign languages, which adds a fun challenge. But literally all of your comments of how are they doing the show without a stage manager? And how does Santana sneak backstage to cover Funny Girl for a night? I was barely able to let a former chorister or ensemble member backstage at the little local theater we perform at. What on earth was going on at Funny Girl? Anyways, I really appreciate your perspective and giving me motivation to watch Glee past my quitting point, which was like one or two episodes into season four. And I'm actively resisting the urge to finish season six while you're off. I look forward to whatever you cover next and mainly hope that it's on an easily accessible streaming platform. Speaking of...
That's Michael, too.
Seriously. Speaking of, while pondering your next show to cover, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Schmigadoon seasons one and two, either in the minisode or, dare I say, full episode form. Anyways, I'm so happy to hear you all doing well. Have a wonderful pause from the podcast. Ian, break a leg, or as we say in opera land, twa twa twa, Kelsey. Is that twa twa twa, Kelsey? I don't know. I guess.
Is it toy toy toy?
Or is it toy toy toy?
Toy toy toy. Well, I hope it's that.
If people would like a full Schmigadoon episode, join our Patreon and vote for a small full Schmigadoon episode. I would love to do a full Schmigadoon episode.
I would love. Mm-hmm.
But Kelsey, great to hear from you. I am very happy to hear that you are doing opera courses. I remember Kelsey and I have been friends since we were 12. But I specifically remember in high school we did an all-state choir together. And I had like heard Kelsey sing like in passing, you know, when you're hanging out with a friend and they're just like, la ba 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 ba. And, you know, she sounded good, but I had never heard her like full out sing. And I remember doing all-state choir and hearing her like seriously sing for the first time and not placing, and I was like, oh, you've sounded like this whole time. She's very talented, so I'm happy to hear that you are still singing. Abridged Schmigadoon thoughts. Here are my abridged thoughts on Schmigadoon. Schmigadoon season one, I was like, this concept is 10-10. This idea for a television show is so amazing. This execution of this concept is like an 8 out of 10. I'm having a very good time.
Yeah. I definitely pattered off towards the end. Yes. Was like, okay, I will watch this.
Yeah. And I was like, I like it enough to finish it, but I feel like it's kind of losing steam as it ends. I agree. And it was very funny, but I just feel like they didn't utilize the concept to the fullest that they could have. The grammar in that sentence was whack. Season two, 10-10 concept, 10-10 execution. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. I absolutely loved every second of season two. It was so good.
Everything. Like, I couldn't even imagine what was going to happen next. Mm-hmm. The twists and turns. I was enthralled by that story.
The first time I watched Famous as Hell, the song in the episode titled Famous as Hell, I was seriously the whole time like, I can't believe this is a real thing that's happening on a television show right now. I was like, in my fantasy, this would be something that happened on a TV show. And I can't believe that this is actually happening at this budget with this caliber of talent. I was so excited. And then I watched the video of that song probably 7 times over the next 24 hours after finishing that episode.
I love that. I love that show. I'd love to talk about it more in a mini, in a bonus episode if you guys are interested.
Schmigadoon, baby. Where the air's as sweet as a macaroon. Ready for relative pitch?
Yeah.
Let's hit it.
I gotta go.
We got Bitch. We got Thousand Miles that was played at that funeral. We got Rock Lobster. We got Whip It. And you did the Glack, so you're first? Is that how that works? Mm-hmm. It's been so long.
I think
long.
So.
Okay.
I don't know.
You know
Switch
what?
Switch it if it's not true.
Do Bitch.
I think it's, I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint, I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. Okay.
I'm a bitch is D flat E to G flat. That's the correct key. You were in the correct key.
Okay, great. Amazing. I want you to sing A Thousand Miles.
All right. If I could fall into the sky, do you think time would pass me by? Because you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I could just see you tonight. Okay, my if I could fall is A to G sharp to A to E, I believe. There you go. Yeah, I'm a full step flat. What else is new? Woo! All right. Happy Minisode, all you mini legends out there. Happy Pride. Tune in 2 days when we talk about the Hurt Locker Part 2 on Wednesday. If you have thoughts on the Hurt Locker Part 2, send them to us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/recoveringgleek for bonus content. And if you want to hear us talk about Schmigadoon, get on there and vote.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys later. We love you so much. Here's mini kiss on your mini forehead. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.